Turn to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 19. And Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. First of all, we're in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 19. Verse 19 of Isaiah 29, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. The meek is the gentle, the humble. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among them shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel, Isaiah said. Then back in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is the holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember that. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. What a great passage in both Isaiah and in Nehemiah. How many of y'all is happy? Is everybody happy? No, but some people ain't happy. How many have joy in the Lord today? Amen? Joy in the Lord. I tell you what, that's what we all need is joy in the Lord. If we have joy in the Lord, we can face the obstacles of life, folks. This is one of the most important questions anyone can ask because everyone wants to be happy. But is everybody happy? Apparently not. But every Christian can have joy in the Lord if they want it. And that's what I want to be talking about today, the joy of the Lord. To lose their happiness makes one very miserable. That's why people commit suicide. That's why people drink, drug, dope. That's why people are living immoral lives today. They're seeking happiness. Well, you're not going to really find it until you know the Lord and surrender fully to the Lord. How to find joy and experience it to the full is what everybody cares about and ought to care about. It's possible that we can actually share in the joy of the Lord our God. And the Bible makes this very clear. We're going to be using scriptures today to encourage you to enjoy the joy of the Lord. The Lord wants your life to be full of joy as you live in a sin-cursed world. That's possible according to the Bible. Do you have joy in the joy of the Lord today? Think about it. Are you really enjoying the Lord today? We're going to talk about it. The joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is not associated with winning the lottery. A lot of folks want to win the lottery. But that, if they win, that's not the joy of the Lord, folks. It's not associated with getting a new car, a new house, a big salary, a new outfit. That's not the joy of the Lord. That's joy in the flesh. None of the material things of this life is the joy of the Lord. And yet, lots of folks are seeking these kind of things to be happy and satisfied and content. But joy in the Lord is altogether different. John 10:10. Boy, what a great scripture. Maybe you ought to mark it in your Bible. Maybe some of you have already marked this important verse of Scripture. Jesus says the reason he even came into the world was that they, that is us, might have life and might have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to have an abundant life, not just be here and have to endure. But that while we're here, we're enjoying loving the Lord and serving the Lord, even as we face the conflicts and the difficulties of life. So Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and he don't want us just to be saved. The Lord wants us to be overflowing with his joy, that we have his life. This is where and only where there is joy in the Lord, when we have not only salvation, but the abundant life that's in Jesus Christ. Nehemiah 8:10, as I already read, the joy of the Lord would be their strength. And that's what carried the early apostles and disciples of the Lord, the early Christians, and it carries many today, people that are saved. They're enjoying being saved. They're enjoying serving the Lord. The joy of the Lord is their strength. And that's the reason you can face conflicts and keep going on. Too many, and especially young Christians, they are saved and then troubles and trials come and they're not grounded. They're not really committed as they should be to the Lord after salvation. They've not grown in the Lord, and life gets hard, and they give up. Folks, it's not to be that way. It's not intended to be that way. The early church was characterized by gladness and in the joy of the Lord. You read in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when all those people were saved. And those days following that, the Bible says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were in church every day. How would y'all like to be in church every day? I didn't hear but one amen. Somebody don't have no joy in the Lord, sounds to me like. Amen? What? Listen, folks, they were in the temple every day praising the Lord, enjoying the Lord. See, this is what's missing. We're not excited enough about going to church. We're telling on ourselves. The Bible says, and they were breaking bread from house to house. We go to your house and eat donuts and go over to your house and eat coconut pie. Amen? Amen? Come on now. And they did eat meat with gladness, pork chops, you know. They ate meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord because there was such joy and excitement, the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, I think that's what's wrong in our country today and in church in general today. We're not excited because we're saved. We're not overflowing, are we? We rush to church. We rush home. We're in a rush. The only time we got in a rush when I was growing up, Daddy would take the line and hit the mule across the rump and she'd get in a trot. We were rushing then, amen. Y'all don't know about that. What you laughing about? Yeah, that old mule would just be whopping along. Daddy'd take the line and whop the, kind of just slap the mule across the rump with the line. She'd go to, with the wagon, us going to church. Yeah, I know about it. You know what? We weren't late going to church either. We're always there on time. And the sword of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. And so when Paul and Barnabas left the city, they shook the dust off their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They just got run out of town, folks. But they were full of joy because they were serving the Lord. Amen? Oh, my goodness, folks. We need revival in the church of God. We need revival. Joy in the Holy Spirit is a distinguishing mark of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, the Bible says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you really glad you're saved? Amen. Are you really glad? Are you going to leave this world and get to heaven with a long face? Or are you going to be excited when you get to heaven? The joy is a fruit of the Spirit, folks. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, Paul tells us in Galatians. And the joy of the Lord brings contentment. Contentment. Causes you to be satisfied. Satisfied with what God gives you. Are you satisfied with what God's give you? Amen. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is what we're all supposed to have. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's next? Joy. We're to have joy in our life because we're God's people. Folks, everybody around you is not going to heaven. They just a few around you going to heaven. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Yeah, you just keep reading the Scriptures. As Christian people, we're supposed to be full of the joy of the Lord because we're the Lord's people. We're His children. Everybody's not His children. You're a select group. You're no better than them. No, we're no better, but we've been chosen to be citizens of heaven one day. And we ought to be full of joy. I'm going to heaven. And I don't deserve to go. That's the line that we don't want to admit. But we none deserve to go to heaven by God's standards. Because God's standards is be perfect like Jesus, and we all fell short. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came, to take all of our shortcomings and sins. And I think about this, how all of our sin was transferred from us to Jesus, and He accepted them. And all that He is, righteous, holy, perfect, was transferred over to a guilty sinner. And God ordained it. And I'm not going to heaven because of anything I do or have done. Because I have the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. Given to me. Folks, we're too proud in this country. We're too materialistic. We've all got air conditioners. And it just happened in my lifetime, folks. You think how blessed you are? You ought to have joy, the joy of the Lord in your heart, in your life. As you're living for the Lord. You got to learn to quit living for yourself. You got to learn to live for the Lord. And that don't come natural. You got to resist self. And put Christ first. We're not going to be perfect. We make mistakes. I already found out today I failed one time. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's our Christian duty to rejoice in the Lord, folks. It's our duty to rejoice in the Lord. We're the children of the Lord. Do you understand how blessed you are today? Really? Amen. Do you really understand how blessed you are? Someone's already mentioned it. But I saw on the headline of Fox News before I left home on my computer where they found this tractor trailer in Sandy Ego, I believe it was, one of them places in California, probably a sanctuary city. But it was full of people, and 8 people was already dead. Others was about starved to death. And they were being rushed to hospitals, those that were surviving. And it's thought it was human trafficking. And it's kind of ironic because Bill Monroe just spoke about that last night and this morning on his program about human trafficking. About 17,000 a year in our country, it's thought, are taken against their will and sold off as slaves for sexual purposes. Our country's in a mess, folks. The Bible says in Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know where Paul said that at? He was sitting in a Roman prison. And he said, rejoice in the Lord. If they took you today down to the pen, down Legend Road, clank them doors shut. Could you have rejoicing in the Lord? Could I? Paul did. Now, I've been into prison. Yeah, I must admit, I've been in prison. I used to go to Brother Walter, and we would go down there to the pen and have services. And I hear that old steel door clack up. We were locked in there with them rascals. But we had a good time in there. We had a good time. We rejoiced. And those inmates in there, we had a good time together. But it was good when the door swung open, you could get out. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, you think about these people that's dying and they're falling into eternal prison. They ain't getting out. They ain't getting out, folks. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice, you're being saved. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he told the church at Thessalonica, rejoice evermore. Wake up of a morning rejoicing, I'm saved. No matter what happens, I'm saved. In Christ, the believer is filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because we're not going to be condemned. We're not going to be kept out of heaven, not if we've been saved. The believer is a saved person who will one day leave this old sin-cursed world of sorrows. Praise God. In 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, we've not seen the Lord, yet we love the Lord. Though now we see him not yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, Peter said. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Because the Lord's going to welcome you home one day if you've accepted Christ as Savior. You got something to rejoice about. You got something to look forward to. I notice sometimes y'all have planned a vacation. And y'all get so excited. We going on vacation. Praise God. But we going to go to heaven. Isn't that more wonderful? Get excited about going to heaven. Because they're going to get rid of the ocean, folks. But heaven is forever for us that have been redeemed. Amen? Because of its supernatural origin of the joy of the Lord, we have gladness of heart even through the trials of life. Going through the hard times of life, we know the Lord is with us. The Lord's going to make a way for us. And Lord, everything's going to turn out all right, even though life is hard. We know we are the children of God, and no one can snatch us away from Him. The devil can't even get you if you've been saved. He can take away your joy. Maybe that's what's happened to some. The devil's took away your joy. He'll do that. He wants to do that. He wants you to be a miserable Christian. So you won't be fruitful for the Lord. He's a devil. He got name right. Amen. We know we are the children of God. We have eternal life and we will never lose it. Amen? We will never lose eternal life. It's ours forever. I feel sorry for these people in these places that'll be taught today that you can lose your salvation and how you need to get saved again today. How pitiful ignorance is. How pitiful. I give unto them eternal life, Jesus said. That's what the Lord said. I give it to him. He's give it to you. It's a gift. Eternal life. It's yours. It's free. It'll never be rescinded. And they shall never perish, he said. See there? He guaranteed it wouldn't be rescinded. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're in the hand of the Lord. Who do you think can go up to Jesus Christ and get us out of his hand? And that ain't all. Or that is it all. The Bible says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in Jesus' hand. Jesus is in God's hand. That's a double, and we won't ever lose eternal life, folks. We're safe. Praise God. If this truth does not give you the joy of the Lord, I don't know what will. We are heirs to an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. We have an inheritance, folks, waiting on us. And no one can steal it or take it from us. Listen to what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 4, to Christian people, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Your name's on it. Amen. Who said that? Praise God. Amen. Yeah, we got an inheritance in heaven. It's got your name on it. It's reserved. These concerts on the big stages, and the ball teams and NASCARs and places like that, they got reserve seats that nobody can't sit in them seats but the one that pays for it. We got a reserve place in heaven that's ours. It's reserved for us. And nobody else is not going to get it. And that's why you ought to rejoice in the Lord. It's going to be there when you get there, Brother Chavis. But you better be a good little boy while you're here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what. In Matthew 6:20, the Lord himself is telling us about it. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay yourselves up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where no thieves do not break through nor steal. Matthew 6:20. Jesus is not telling us we shouldn't have a savings account. He's not telling us that. What he's simply saying is this. Don't live for the things of this life. Live for Jesus. And as he blesses, you can lay up. But that's not what you're to be living for. What you got in the bank. Or for things. You don't. We're not to live for that. We're to live for the Lord. The only way I can show I love God is by obeying him. Just saying it isn't worth 2 cents if I'm not living it. We know the author and the finisher of our faith, so let the enemy rage. We know who wins in the end. We're going to make it no matter how many devils come along, if we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, even Jesus on the cross had joy. You know why? He saw what his dying on the cross was going to do. It was going to reach you and save you. That gave him joy. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The other night at Bible study several weeks ago, we saw Jesus standing up before the throne of God. Now, right today, he's seated. But the day's coming, he's going to stand up. And when he stands up, he's going to open up that seven-seal scroll. And the judgments of God's going to start coming on this world. As God wipes out the populations of the world that's rebelled against him. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Adverse circumstances, instead of hindering our faith can actually enhance our joy. As you see the Lord bring you through trials and difficulties, you can be encouraged knowing the Lord is going to keep making a way for you. And the older you get, you young folks, the older you get, and you face these trials now, well, you already can look at that little girl sitting over there. Look what she's gone through. If the Lord will bring you through that, young'uns, be at church at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. Get excited about serving the Lord. Paul and Silas knew adversity as they sat with their feet in shock in a Philippian jail. Their legal rights had been violated. They had been arrested without cause and beaten without a trial. At midnight, since they couldn't sleep, they sang songs of praise to the Lord. Think about it. Beaten, bloody, dirty. Chained in stocks in a prison, and in the darkest of the night at midnight, what were they doing? Singing praise to God. They had joy in the Lord. They were obeying the Lord. They were serving their Lord. And contrary to some of this modern preaching that's going on, listen, if a real born-again Christian, you're going to suffer in this life, contrary to what some of them say. It ain't because you got a lack of faith. But if you've really been born again, the old devil's going to attack you. And there ain't nothing you can do to keep him from it. Jesus said you're going to have troubles. Now, I believe him rather than the old stupid preachers. Amen. In Acts 16, beginning at verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. They took them really to where it's secure. And made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They were witnesses. And it caused others to get saved. Even the jailer got saved. And then his family got saved. Why? They were rejoicing in the Lord. The joy of the Lord may be unexplainable to one who does not possess it. But for the believer in Christ, the joy of the Lord comes natural. As we abide in Christ, the true vine, we the branches are full of his strength and vitality, and the fruit we produce, including joy, is his doing. Jesus gave us the parable of the vine. That the Father is the vine and we're the branches. And our life comes from the vine, not from the branch. As branches, we're to bear fruit for the Lord as we abide in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And that's a verse I refer to many times when I talk to the Lord. I can't do nothing. I can only present myself to Him for Him to accomplish His work. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." God wants us full of joy as Christian people. Surrendered to Him, realizing who He is. We are His people to serve Him. Christianity does not have to be humdrum. Where did I find such a word as that? I don't know. But it works. We don't have to be going about like we're lost on the way. How many Christians are lost on the way to heaven? They don't have no joy. In John 17:20, Jesus prayed this prayer. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." John 17:20. Did you hear what he just said there? That God may love us like he loves Jesus, his son. Boy, I tell you something, folks. Are y'all asleep? God loves us, Christians, as much as he loves his son. He just said it. Does that do anything for you? You got children? Do you love them? I heard somebody make a racket, Lord. Well, think about the Lord loves his children, us, like he loves his natural son, Jesus. And we're adopted into his family. Praise God, folks, for God, the Almighty God, the one that spoke everything into existence by His Word. And He loves us so much. And we're to have joy in our hearts, the joy of the Lord. There's no amount of wealth in this world that this world has to offer that is worth the joy of the Lord. What if you owned all the world, Jesus said? Boy, you would just be so happy if you owned the world. But in 50, 60, or 70 years, they'd be toting your body to the graveyard. Then you'd be lost to the world. What good would that do you then? Huh? What good would that do? Now you've gone out to be forever separated from God. So this world don't have anything of value to let it keep you away from serving the Lord with joy, folks. Oh, listen. When we have the joy of the Lord, we are pleasing our Heavenly Father. So rejoice in the Lord because He loves you. And this one last scripture. In Psalms 90:14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Psalms 90:14. Folks, as God's children, as God's people, we should be full of the joy of the Lord. expressing it in our demeanor, in our conversation, in our actions, in our faithfulness. In our faithfulness, Lord, folks. I'm excited. The Lord has given me an opportunity to love Him and serve Him. Everybody's not getting this. Take advantage of it. You won't regret it. But you'll regret if you don't. Loving God, I wanted to encourage our people here today. Challenge them today. Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would stir up hearts. Encourage hearts. Lord, Lord, help us to be excited, loving You. Seeking to learn about You, Lord. And then taking what we learn and applying it to ourselves as we make our way through this world of sin. God, help us to be a light, to light the way for someone, I pray. Bless the family of Jimmy Hunt. Bless them, Lord. Comfort them, Lord. Thank You for his salvation, Lord, that we got to witness one day. Bless. Have Your way in our hearts and lives, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts. Is our invitation today. You know, the Lord, praise Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Adore Him. Thank Him. If your heart is not filled with the joy of the Lord, come to the altar and say, Lord, I just want to be filled with the joy of the Lord as I live my life. If you don't know the Lord, if you never accepted Jesus, today's the day of salvation.